In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What are you worth? Some days, doesn't feel like much at all. Some days you stare in the mirror and you think, does anyone really care about me? I mean, why should they? What good am I? I saw the way that she looked at me. I heard what he said about me. I know what they all think of me. And they're probably right. I'm not worth their time. I'm not worth their attention. I'm not worth their love. I'm not worth anything. As each of these thoughts passes through you, your perception about the truth of yourself and the truth of everyone else warps a bit. Your world gets a bit darker. But at the same time, your every fault lay exposed by a harsh, unforgiving light. Your world seems to get a bit smaller, but at the same time, cavernously empty. It gets a bit quieter, except for the deafening echoes of every painful word that you've ever heard or imagined. You curve in a bit more, even as you reach out more desperately. You crave to hear other people's approval and praise, but you live in constant fear of them too, of what they might say, what they might not say. In short, your whole world gets a bit more like hell. Now maybe some of you are thinking, oh, I'm glad I've never had one of those days. Well, think a little longer, a bit harder. Is there really no one whose approval you seek? No one whose word of praise can put a bounce in your step? No one whose critical comment or stony silence can completely crush you? A parent, a grandparent, maybe a sibling, a close friend, a peer, a co-worker, your boss, your mentor, your idol. As long as we measure our worth by any of their opinions, we are asking for pain. And not just emotionally. When you measure your value by the standards of others, whether real standards or imagined, you are using them as an idol. You're anxious about the validity of your existence, and you're turning to them for comfort, for meaning, for truth. And so your anxiety becomes the liturgy of worship that you offer to false gods as they fail to come through for you. And they will fail you. Because even if they should lavish you with endless gushing praise, you would still hear that insidious satanic whisper. Would they still say all that if they knew what you were really like? If they knew your thoughts, your intentions, your desires, your secrets. It's only a matter of time before they see your true face. Now, this isn't a matter of self-esteem. This is a matter of truth. What are you really worth? What standard can you measure up to? What standard actually matters? You know that you've done wrong, though sometimes you could pretend otherwise. You know that something in you is wrong, and you can't feel your way away from it. You can't work your way out of it. You can't think your way past it. And if the only reliable standard of worth is the one that God has for us, for the standard of perfection, what can we possibly be worth in His eyes? What can we be worthy of except more of this hellish pit that we've dug for ourselves? Hear God's answer. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. He loves you. It's not because you're better, or you're smarter, more beautiful, more honest, more talented, more faithful, or more anything that the Lord has chosen you. Your worthiness of God's love is not dependent on you. Your worthiness is defined by His love for you. Through His prophet, God once declared to His beloved Israel, "It is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the king, Pharaoh, king of Egypt." See, when God loves, He speaks. And when God speaks, He acts. He never goes back on His word. When He says, "I love you," nothing in the universe can change that. Not anything that you do. Not anything that happens to you. You can't stop God from loving you, and neither can anyone else. He's seen you at your worst. He sees even all of the wretchedness that you won't let yourself see. And still, He loves you. And since He loves you, nothing in the universe can stop Him from acting on that love, from redeeming you from your slavery to fear and anxiety from the very hand of Satan. You want to know what you're worth? You're worth the blood of Jesus. And Jesus' blood makes you worthy. God counted you more valuable than His own life. He purchased you and He won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. That was the price of your redemption. And it's already been paid before you ever had the opportunity to prove yourself. Such was your worth in His eyes that He gave up everything He had to gain you, His treasure, His precious pearl. Now, are you actually worth that much? Wrong question. Doesn't matter. That's what you're worth to Him, because He loves you. And if God has deemed you worthy, who can contradict Him? Who are they? Who are we to say that we are unworthy, that we are unloved, that we are useless, that we are hopeless? If God is for us, who can be against us? You're worth the blood of Jesus, by whose blood God makes you worthy. The Lord foreknew and He foreloved you, and so He predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ, sharing His holiness, His rightness, His good, His life, His joy, even as you now share His cross. He's called you. He's justified you, and He will certainly glorify you. You will certainly have a share, a place, a home with Him in the glory to come. Christ purchased and won you so that you may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He wants you specifically. So He shaped all of the events and circumstances and encounters of your life so that you would be with Him here today in this place. And so that you would be with Him on the last day. God has sealed you with His Spirit, sealed you with His name and holy baptism. He still feeds you his son's very body and blood to keep you alive, to keep you close, now and always. And while he's at it, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's justified you. He's forgiven you. He's bridged that chasm of sin that stood between you and him so that he can deliver every good thing to you. What can hold him back? Who can hold him back? Why would he hold himself back? Don't you know that if the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God has set his sights on you, he can and will do everything that it takes to lavish his love upon you forever, to save you from death, to free you from shame, to give you that unbounded freedom of unending, unlimited, ever-creative life. That's what he's preparing for you. That's your hope for the world to come. And that is what he's already started to give you. Wait a minute, though. If God loves us so much, then why do we suffer now? Why do we die? After all, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Doesn't that disprove God's love for us? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. We, sinful humanity altogether, we brought all this present suffering on ourselves, and we still perpetuate it. What has God done about it? Well, God already gave us his commandments and his word to keep us safe from that which would destroy us in this world, especially from the deadly delusion that we don't need to be saved, but that we can't be saved. And in answering to the suffering of sin, God gives us Jesus to redeem our suffering, to transform our suffering, to give us hope in the midst of it. Through Jesus, God turns all things, even all evil things, to our ultimate good. He uses need to teach us our need for him. He uses sickness to teach us not to get comfortable in these broken bodies, in this broken world. He uses strife, hate, betrayal, violence, war, to teach us that only he can give true, enduring justice and peace. He uses anxiety to teach us to measure our worth by Jesus' cross, to see ourselves and each other through his eyes of love. He uses even death itself to destroy your sin-infected body so that you could receive a perfect, whole, sinless body in the resurrection. So in every instance in our lives, God uses the very things that we thought threatened us as instruments of our salvation. He gives us victory over these evils through him who loved us, through Jesus. And in the new world to come that your heavenly Father is preparing for you, the new world that he's preparing you for, in that world, there won't be a speck of evil or suffering left at all. God loves you. He treasures you. But he doesn't love only you. See, he's got more treasure still. He's gathered some of his treasure here today, right in these very pews. We call this treasure the church. And generous as your God is, he gives all of these treasures to you. Worthy of God's love, you are also worthy of the love of all the other people here. And they are worthy of your love. They're worth your time, your consideration, your prayers, your aid. They're worthy of your smiles, of your conversation, your encouragement, your shoulder to lean on. They are worth your graciousness, your patience, and your forgiveness. They are worthy to be welcomed into your house and into your heart because they've already been welcomed into God's. Remember that. Treasure precisely these people here. Because after the building falls down, after the money runs out, after everything else burns up, passes away, this church, these people, God's beloved, will remain for you to treasure forever. You've all got a glorious future together, because Jesus is not going to leave a single one of you 6 feet under. Because if you bury your treasure and you never dig it up, it's not really a treasure. You might as well have buried a rock. No. No, whatever field that you're buried in, Jesus will raise you up to treasure you in his presence forever. Think of this too. What are the people outside the church worth to Jesus? They are worth the same blood that was shed for you. They too are precious to him. They too are worthy of your love and your patience, are worth suffering for, even if they're the ones who make you suffer. No matter how they hurt you, after every tear is wiped away and every wound healed, the ones whose hearts were turned to repentance and faith will be there, perfected and free of their sin that lashed out at you, treasured by each of us, and treasuring each of us in return. With each additional priceless treasure in heaven, we will all be richer. You are so precious to God. You are also God's precious gifts to each other, redeemed and holy, worthy and loved. You are worthy of the love of your brothers and sisters here, and they are worthy of yours. So rejoice in the gift of each other. Rejoice in the one who makes us worthy of love. Rejoice in all of these eternal gifts of God right here. Rejoice always, for you are Jesus' treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.